开圣经创世纪第十七章。
Let us turn to Genesis chapter 17.
创世纪第十七章。
Genesis 17.
我们上个礼拜读了一段，结果我们只讲到第一节就结束了。
And last week we actually only ended on the first verse.
我们今天一同再从第一节一直念到第二十节。
Continue from verse 1 to verse 22.
我们大家一同开始来读。亚伯兰年99岁的时候，耶和华向他显现，对他说：我是全能的上帝，你当在我的面前做完全，我就以你立约，使你的后裔极其繁多。亚伯兰俯伏在地，上帝又对他说：我与你立约，你要做多国的父，从此以后你的名不再叫亚伯兰，你要叫亚伯拉罕，因为我已立你做多国的父，我必使你的后裔极其繁多，国度从你而立，君王从你而出，我要以你并你世世代代的后裔建立我的约，做永远的约，是要做你和你后裔的上帝。我要将你现在寄居之地，就是迦南全地，赐给你和你后裔永远为业，我也必做他们的神。上帝又对亚伯拉罕说：你和你的后裔必世世代代遵守我的约，你们所有的男子都要受割礼，这就是我你与你并你的后裔所立的约，是你们所当遵守的，你们都要受割礼，这是我与你们立约的证据。你们世世代代的男子，无论是家里生的，是你后裔之外用银子从外人买的，生下来第八日都要受割礼。你家里生的和你用银子买的都必须受割礼，这样我的约就立在你的肉体上做永远的约。但不受割礼的男子必从民中解除，因为他背了我的约。上帝问亚伯拉罕说：你的妻子撒来不可再叫撒来，他的名要叫撒拉，我必赐福给他，也赐你从他的一个儿子，我要赐福给他，他也要做多国之母，必有百姓的君王从他而出。亚伯拉罕就俯伏在地息笑，心里说：100岁的人还能得孩子吗？撒拉已经90岁了，还能生养吗？亚伯兰对上帝说：但愿以色玛利活在你面前。上帝说：不然，你妻子撒拉要给你生一个儿子，你要给他起名叫以撒，我要与他坚定所立的约，做他后裔永远的约。至于以色玛利，我也应允你，我必赐福给他，使他昌盛极其繁多，他必生12个族长，我要使他成为大国。到明年这时节，撒拉必给你生以撒，我要与他坚定所立的约。第22节，上帝和亚伯拉罕说完的话，就离开他上升去了。我自己读23到27。正当那人亚伯拉罕遵着上帝的命，给他的儿子以斯玛利和家里的一切的男丁，无论是在家里生的，是用银子买的，都行了割礼。亚伯拉罕受割礼的时候年99岁，他儿子以斯玛利受割礼的时候年13岁。正当那日，亚伯拉罕和他的儿子以斯玛利一同受了割礼。家里所有的人，无论是家里生的，是用银子从外人买来的，也都一同受割礼。我们就把第17章都读完了。我们再次低头祷告，主啊，求主赐福给我们，从你的话得出教训，看清楚你要我们明白的是怎样的真理，你与人所立的约是怎样的宝贵，你要我们遵守你的约，好叫我们永远蒙受你的福分。求主赐福今天每个到你面前来的人，感谢赞美，奉主耶稣基督得胜的名求你，阿们。上个礼拜我们思想到神对亚伯拉罕的一个要求。
Last week we talked about how God demanded of Abraham.
你在我面前 要做完全人。
That he is to be blameless before God.
每一次神赐下命令的时候
，Every time God gives us a command，
神先把应许讲出来。
He will first give us the promise。
你就看见圣经里面有个应许跟命令的一个属灵的关系。
And so there's a spiritual relationship between a commandment and a promise.
上帝的应许是带命令的应许。
All promises of God carries His command.
啊，上帝的命令是带应许的命令。
And all of His commands will carry a promise.
每一次神把命令赐下来的时候
，Every time God gave us a command,
一定附带把这应许也赐下来。
He will also give us His promise.
每一次把应许赐下来的时候
，And every time He promises us,
他也愿意人利用，使人遵行他的命令。
He will have a covenant with us that we will follow His command.
当耶稣基督说你们到普天下去传福音的时候
，When Jesus Christ said that we are to preach the gospel to the ends of the world,
他要门徒遵行这个命令。
He wants His disciples to follow His command.
他马上就赐下应许说，我就与你们同在，直到世界的末了。
And immediately He promised that He will be with them until the end of the world.
当神吩咐青年人要孝敬父母的时候
，When God commanded that the young should honor their parents，
他就说：“我就使你在世可以享受长命。
”And God promised that you may enjoy long life on earth。
所以将神的应许隐藏作命令。
And so God's promise implicitly has His command。
神的命令也隐藏作应许。
And His command also has His promises.
上帝对亚伯拉罕说
，God said to Abraham，
你要在我面前做完全人的时候
，Walk before me and be blameless。
他是先应许，我是全能的神，我会供应你所需要的一切。
He first promised that He is God Almighty, that He will provide all things.
所以他才把命令赐下来。
And then He gave His command.
这样神与人之间的关系
，The relationship between God and man
是一个很有机性的相辅之间的关系。
It's an organic mutual relationship.
我们也认识上帝的能力。
When we understand the power of God,
我们也明白上帝的应许。
We will understand His promises.
我们就有更多的能力去遵行上帝的命令。
We would then have more power to do His work.
上帝对亚伯拉罕说：“你在我面前活着。”
God said to Abraham, "For you to live before me."
这句话是整个宇宙中间没有任何一个宗教可以看到的最伟大的人格记的这个交通。
This is a relationship that cannot be found in any other faith.
The personal relationship between the Creator man and man's Creator. 所以这是创造的神与被造的人为个祭之间的一个关系。
This is a relationship between the Creator and His creature.
严格的说起来，这个关系被忽略了几千年。
Strictly speaking, this relationship has been ignored for thousands of years.
直到二十世纪初期的时候
，till the beginning of the 20th century，
希伯来大学的教授 Martin Buber 才发现它的重要性。
Martin Buber, a great lecturer, discovered this.
那这个 Martin Buber 写一本书叫做《I and Thou》。
Martin Buber wrote a book entitled "I and Thou"，
就把关系分成三层
，to tell us that there are three different relationships。
第一种关系是 I and it。
The first one is between I and it.
第二种关系是 I and him.
Second one is I and him.
第三种关系是 I and you.
Third one is I and you.
所以当一个人跟另外一个人的关系是 I and it 的时候
，If the relationship is in the arena of I and it，
他的动机就是利用。
The motive then is to make use of it.
用自己的自由随便摆布对方。
We will use our own freedom to manipulate the other person.
对方不过是个 it 而已。
The other person is but a it.
但是当这个关系进步到第二个阶层的时候
，But when the relationship becomes deeper,
对方不是个 it， 不是个利用的对象，是一个 you， 是一个 him， 是另外一个人，他以等量齐观的人际关系来看待他。
The other person become a him, a person like a peer.
但是这还不够。
But this is not enough.
当到了第三个阶层的时候
，In the third arena，
就变成我与你的关系。
It will become me and you.
在你与我之外，没有人知道我们两个人的关系。
A intimate relationship between a person and another person.
这就是人格与人格中间最亲近、最直接、最个别性的这个关系的建立。
An establishment of a relationship that is very personal between two persons.
婚姻是建立在这个关系上面。
This is what a marital relationship is like.
人与神的信仰是建立在这个关系上面。
all the faith between man and his God.
Martin Buber's teaching 受另外一个的影响，就是 Søren R.B. Kierkegaard.
Martin Buber was influenced by Søren Kierkegaard.
所以齐克国的存在主义
，the existentialism of Kierkegaard，
这是真正前人类存在主义之父。
He is indeed the father of existentialists.
尼采的存在主义根本不能与你齐克国的存在主义相提并论。
And cannot be compared with the existentialism of Friedrich Nietzsche.
这样不是 Martin Buber 发现了这个 interpersonal relationship.
So interpersonal relationship was not discovered really by Martin Buber.
这个更早的是齐克国的发现。
It was discovered by Kierkegaard.
而齐克国的这个发现就是从这一段圣经里面得到启发而来的。
And Kierkegaard was inspired by this passage in the Bible.
上帝对亚伯拉罕说
，God said to Abraham,
你在我的面前
，You are before me.
你要活成一个完全人。
You are to be blameless.
或者用别的翻译来说
，Or in another translation,
你活在我的面前。
You are living before me.
活得没有瑕疵。
You are to live without any blame.
这样的观念就影响了齐克国。
And this sort of concept influenced Kierkegaard.
齐克国给存在下了一个定义。
Kierkegaard had a definition for existence.
这个定义是什么呢？
What is this definition?
To exist is to be with oneself alone before God.
存在本身就是自己单独在上帝面前的存在。
一个人发现他单独是活在上帝面前的时候，
When a person discovers that he is alone before God,
他就没有办法逃避他对神要尽责任的这一种人生的价值。
It will be impossible for him to escape from the realization that he has to be responsible toward God.
所以上帝说你是活在我面前。
So God declared that you are alive before me.
我正在检查你。
I am searching you.
我正在观看你。
I am observing you.
你的一举一动、一思一念、一言一语都在我的检查的下面。
And I'm observing every move, every thought that you have.
那么你到底对我与你之间的关系？你有怎样的觉悟，你有怎么样的回应呢？
The question then is, what is your response or your awareness of this relationship?
这种观念发展到这个新约的时期的时候，
When this sort of concept is extended into the New Testament,
保罗说你无论做什么，像是坐在上帝面前给他看的。
The Apostle Paul declared that whatever you may do, do it for God.
这种信仰就变成基督徒工作伦理的一个基础。
And this becomes the foundation of Christian work ethics.
当你做一件事的时候，
When you are doing something,
你不是敷衍其事，
It is not just to pass time.
你不是那话这个做着填满时间的自我安慰，
Or to do something to fulfill your own needs.
也不是做一些东西呢赚赚钱就算了，
Or just to make some money.
更不是做一些东西呢是讨好人，
And certainly not to please others.
你还是在上帝面前很严肃地做成这件事。
What you are doing is solemnly to accomplish your task before God.
这种观念在发展下来的话，
And when you think further,
就产生了基督教地区才能产生最伟大的工业产品。
You will see why only in Christian areas can great industrial product be produced.
最伟大的艺术品。
The greatest work of art.
最伟大的音乐。
The greatest music.
如果我问你，
If I were to ask you,
为什么欧洲产生了最伟大的音乐呢？
Why would great music come from Europe?
为什么欧洲产生了最伟大的美术呢？
Why would great work of art come from Europe?
为什么欧洲产生了最严谨的哲学体系呢？
Why did they have the most solemn philosophical system?
为什么欧洲特别是改教运动所影响的地方产生了最精密的仪器跟最精密的机器呢？
Why do they have the most precise and concise machinery, especially those areas that have been
reformed? 这个答案追根溯源就是在创世纪第十七章第一节。
If you trace it all, you will go back to Genesis 17 verse 1.
上帝对亚伯兰说，
God said to Abraham,
你在我面前要活得没有瑕疵。
You are to be blameless before me.
你要在我面前活成一个完全的人。
You are to be perfect before me.
因为你是活在我的面前。
Because you live before me.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
如果把这些东西延伸下去，
If we keep thinking about this,
你就发现你不奇怪为什么最好的产品你一定在基督教地区寻找，不是在佛教回教的地区去购买。
You will find that the best product will come from a Christian influenced place, not those places influenced by other religions.
为什么你到德国去找机器呢？
Why would you buy German machinery?
为什么你到 瑞典去找机器呢？
Why would you buy machines from Switzerland?
为什么在瑞士里面找的最好的手表呢？
Why do we find the best watches in Switzerland?
因为这些的果效，
All these products
都是从内心尊重神的存在，神的完全，神的全能，神的公义跟神的鉴察产生出来的副作用。
Are produced because people have fear towards God's perfection and the fact that God is observing us all the time.
创世纪第十七章第一节。
Genesis 17 verse 1.
是神对他的选民的一个要求。
It's a demand that God has towards his people.
这个要求是被隐藏在神对他选民的应许的里面的。
And this demand is hidden in his promises.
因为我是全能的。
I am God Almighty.
我是供应的。
I am the one who provides.
所以我要求你在我面前做一个完全的人。
So I demand that before me you be blameless.
上帝对亚伯兰讲的这个话以后，
After God said this to Abraham,
亚伯兰就伏伏在地。
Abraham fell face down.
他没一句话回答。
He did not answer God.
他知道这是很艰难的事情。
He knew that it is difficult.
知道神不是开玩笑的。
And he knew that God was solemn.
上帝不可能把一个不可能做的事情作为一个严重的恶来放在人的身上。
And God would not give him a burden that was impossible.
所以神所要求的事情一定是可以达到的。
The things that are demanded of God could be accomplished.
而神所应许的他自己本身的丰盛一定会保证你可以达到他对你的要求。
And the abundance and promises of God will guarantee that you can accomplish it.
上帝接下去就对他，我与你立约。
And then God said, "This is my covenant with you."
这样立约跟应许的性质就分开来了。
And then we see a difference between the covenant and the promise.
应许的本身是单方面的。
A promise is a one-sided affair.
立约的本身是双方面的。
But the covenant is mutual.
这样一个男人喜欢你，就对你说，我应许，我永远爱你。
A man would say to a woman, "I promise that I'll love you forever."
这是他的心愿。
This is his will.
但是这个心愿就把你当作他爱人，他表示他会永远爱你。
And he expresses the will that he will love you forever.
这个不够。
This is not enough.
为什么呢
？Why?
因为这个应许是单方面的。
This promise will be one-sided.
所以当你们感情发展到一个可以结婚地步的时候
，And so when a relationship is to the point of marriage,
应许就进一步变成立约。
The promise will then become a covenant.
既然你愿意永远爱我，
Since you are willing to love me forever,
我们去注册好不好？
Let us go and register our marriage.
我们去在那里发誓，我们一两个人建立一个家庭，永远不可废约的。
And then we will make an oath that we will have a family and we will not go back on our words.
应许进到立约的这个阶段，
From promise he has entered into a covenant.
你看见这个信就建立起来了。
And the faith is then built.
所以上帝就对亚伯兰说，
So God said to Abraham,
我要与你立约，
I will have a covenant between you and me.
我要赐福给你，
I will bless you.
我要赐你子孙，
I will give you descendants.
我要使你的子孙成为大族，
I will enable your descendants to be a great nation.
我要世世代代跟你的子孙立约。
And for all generations, my covenant will be there.
跟你的子孙人说，立的约是个永远的约。
And this is an everlasting covenant.
所以这样，这就不是单单亚伯兰一个人在上帝面前活着，两个未个祭之间的关系这么简单了。
So the relationship is no longer so simple between Abraham and God.
这个约就传宗接代。
It will go to the next generation.
这个代里面。
From generations to generations,
以后的时期里面
in the days to come,
继续生效直到永远
it will have an effect till eternity.
神就第一次吩咐人要受割礼
This is the first time the command of circumcision came in.
你要受割礼
You are to be circumcised.
我与你立约在你肉身上的一个记号
A physical mark of our covenant.
用你受割礼的证据证明你是以我立约我所拣选的人。
The circumcision will show the covenant and that you are my people.
所以无论是你
whether it's you,
无论你的孩子
your children,
或者你的子孙
your descendants,
凡是从你家里生下来的
all that have been born in your household,
或者你用你的钱从外租买回来的
or bought with money from a foreigner,
都要在他的身上行个礼
all have to be circumcised.
作为我与你的子子孙孙永远立约的一个证据。
As a proof of the covenant.
像你看全世界在古代的历史中间只有一个民族或者一个做祭的人是受割礼的。
And so in ancient history, only one race has been circumcised.
亚伯拉罕 以及他的后代。
And that will be Abraham and his descendants.
这样就把亚伯兰的后代跟非亚伯兰的后代很严格的区分出来了。
There will then be a great segregation between the descendants of Abraham and those who are not.
那么这些因以上帝律而受割礼的百姓，就称那些不受割礼的叫做外邦人。
And so the circumcised were considered those who are uncircumcised as Gentiles.
因为他们自己的身上有了以上帝立约的记号。
They themselves have this sign of the covenant of God.
这样在全本圣经里面第一次上帝讲这句话。
This is the first time the Bible talk about this.
你的婴孩生出来第八天要行割礼。
That your baby should be circumcised on the eighth day.
从来没有别的宗教有这样的吩咐。
No other faith or religion have such a command.
从来也没有民族有这样的习惯的。
And no other race of people have such a tradition.
神所吩咐的。
This is a command of God.
那么上帝特别提到是第八天受割礼。
And this is a special mentioning the eighth day.
为什么不是第三天？
Why not the third day?
为什么不是第四天？
Or the fourth?
为什么不是第七天？
Maybe the seventh.
为什么不是第十二天？
Why not the twelfth day?
为什么不是第十天？
Maybe the tenth day.
为什么不是第一百四十四天？
What about 144 days?
为什么不是第四十天？
Why not 40 days?
为什么是第八天？
Why the eighth day?
原来三四七十二一百四十四，这些都是圣经里面最重要的数目。
Numbers like 3, 7, 12, 144 are important biblical numbers.
三是代表天，四是代表地。
3 represents heaven and 4 on the earth.
所以天有三层，地有四季。
And so we say there are 3 levels of heaven and 4 in the earth.
天有三位一体的上帝，必有春夏秋冬。
The triune God is in heaven and we have 4 seasons on earth.
必有东西南北。
And we have north, south, east, west.
是天上的敬拜有圣在，圣在，圣在。
And in the worship in heaven, we say holy, holy, holy.
在地上有春夏秋冬，在地上有东西南北的四个角落。
In the earth, we have four seasons and four directions.
那么三是重要的数目。
Three is an important numerical number.
四也是重要的数目。
So is four.
那三加四变成七，三乘四变成十二。
3 plus 4 give you 7, 3 times 4 give you 12.
7跟12都是很重要的数目。
7 and 12 are important biblical numbers.
7是表示天地之间的合一。
7 refers to heaven and earth being one.
7也表示神与人之间的和谐。
And the harmony between God and man.
所以这就是天人合一的一个数目。
A number representing heaven and man.
3乘4成为12。
3 multiplied by 4 give you 12.
这就是神的族类的一个数目。
A number of the tribe of God.
就是以色列有十二的支派。
There are 12 Israelite tribes.
耶稣基督有十二个门徒。
Jesus had 12 disciples.
无论旧有，无论新有，十二就变成一个很完美的数目。
And 12 becomes a perfect number in the Old and the New Testament.
十二乘十二叫做一百四十四。
12 times 12 give 144.
12乘12乘1000叫做144000个人。
12 times 12 times 1000 give you 144,000.
这些在圣经里面都有很清楚的记载。
These are biblical numbers that can be found.
唯有这一次上帝破例说第八天给婴孩行割礼。
But this is an exception, circumcision on the eighth day.
为什么第八天呢？
Why the eighth day?
很多人不知道。
Many people do not know.
我相信不但很多人不知道，连摩西写下他也不知道。
I think even Moses would not know this when he wrote this.
上帝吩咐他写第八天，他就写第八天了。
He wrote whatever God told him to.
所以将摩西记载下上帝这句话以后，
After Moses recorded this,
3500年以后，人才开始明白了。
We understood why 3,500 years later.
或者是上帝对亚伯兰讲这句话有将近四千年，人才明白。
Or 4,000 years after the command was given, then we understood.
那就差不多1940年的年代。
About 1940.
英国皇家医学院里面，皇家的医学院里面。
The Royal Medical College in England.
有一些医生他发现的。
Some doctors did the research.
人生出来的时候，
that after a child is born,
是血液里面的血小板凝结素是很稀的。
The platelet would not congregate.
所以呢，到了第二天
，on the second day
就增加了。
It will
increase. 第三天再增加
，it will increase further.
第四天
，on the fourth day
又减少了
，it will reduce.
第五天再减少了
，and fifth day will reduce.
第六天再增加
，on the sixth day will increase.
第七天再增加
，on the seventh day the platelet count will increase.
第八天那个血小板凝血素就增加了最高最高的分量。
And on the eighth day, you will have the highest number.
那么第九天呢？
By the ninth day,
这个数目又再掉下去。
It will start to fall again.
以后就没有一天比第八天的血小板的数目更多了。
The eighth day gives you the largest platelet count.
所以这个事情呢，没有人知道。
And no one knew this.
创造人的上帝知道。
But of course, God, the Creator, knew it.
这是神安排。
This was an arrangement by God.
是神所定的事情。
Something set by God.
所以上帝说，你要给婴孩。第八天行个礼。
And so circumcision for the child is on the eighth day.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为在第八天行个礼的时候，
When circumcision is done on the eighth day,
血最容易止住的。
The blood would clot easily.
还不可能流血过度。
And would not bleed excessively.
所以对婴孩的健康是最有保障的。
Most important for the health of the child.
是他一生里面最宝贵的一天。
The most important day in his life.
是他不会流血过度。
That he would not bleed excessively.
怜悯人的上帝就这样启示了摩西，对这样告诉亚伯兰这件事情。
And the God of compassion inspired Moses to write it in this manner.
所以我告诉你，如果你读圣经不明白，你要忍耐，因为3500年以后你就会明白了。
So if you do not understand the Bible, be patient. 4,000 years later, you'll figure it out.
很多人读经不明白就骂上帝。
Whenever we do not understand the Bible, we will blame God.
圣经的话不很理性，他就大大怀疑。
And we doubt the Bible when we find it illogical.
你是先侮辱上帝。
First, you are despising God.
你是先轻看上帝。
And you look down on God.
趁机会找把柄来怪着他，你过一种这种不敬畏上帝的生活。
And you live a life not in fear of God. You want to blame Him for everything.
我们基督徒不应当如此。
This is not the case for the Christian.
有许多时候，上帝的话是我们有限的头脑没有办法明白的。
Very often, our finite mind cannot understand the word of God.
所以我们一定要先顺从，在等候他的时间。
We must first be obedient and wait upon His timing.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
上帝对亚伯兰说。
God said to Abraham.
你生下的孩子。
All the children born of your household
第八天要给他行个礼
have circumcision on the eighth day.
但是这句话来得很迟
But this sentence came late.
所以呢，这个以斯玛利已经生下了13年了
Ishmael was born for 13 years already.
上帝不是说单单你的后代要行个礼
God did not say the circumcision is only for the next generation.
上帝要亚伯拉罕也行个礼
Even Abraham was included.
亚伯兰就自己照上帝的吩咐，他以他所生的以实玛利同一天行个礼。
So on the same day, Abraham and Ishmael were circumcised.
亚伯兰已99岁才行个礼。
He was 99.
以实玛利13岁行个礼。
And Ishmael was 13.
那以后再生出来的就第八天给他行个礼。
And after that, all will be circumcised on the eighth day.
行个礼是很痛苦的事情。
The circumcision is a painful thing.
因为人整个身体中间神经系统最密的地方就是眼睛跟性器官。
And the place where the nerves congregate is the human eye and also the sexual organs.
神就要求你在你的性器官的皮上面割掉它，行割礼。
And God demanded circumcision where the skin of the sexual organ was removed.
所以刚才我们讲的神赐下怜悯在第八天做这个事情
We have said how God is compassionate and gave this command on the eighth day
在你的身上就有一个记号
And then there will be a mark upon your physical body
为什么上帝在我们眼睛跟我们的性器方面放最多的神经呢
Why would God place all the nerves on the eye and also the sexual organ
讲使我们的眼睛可以受最周密的保护
That our eyes will be protected fully
在我们的性器官上有特别周密的神经系统什么意思呢
But what about the nerves or the sexual organs
你可以最敏感的享受
That you can have the most sensitive enjoyment
如果一个人顺从神的旨意
If a person is obedient to the will of God
他可以享受上帝给他最完美的舒服感
He will enjoy the greatest pleasure that God has designed for him
一个人抵挡上帝的旨意犯罪
But when a person sin in opposition to God,
性器官坏了以后，他就受了最痛苦的刑罚。
and his sexual organ may receive the most painful punishment.
因为神是公义的。
Because God is just.
上帝造人的时候。
When God made man.
给人的性功能。
He gave us sexual functions.
给人的性自由。
He gave us sexual freedom.
甚至给我们性的享受。
And also the enjoyment of sexuality.
给我们性在身体这个功能的我们的肢体的活动方面。
That sex is part of our physical functions.
就超过了所有动物行使它的肢体的这个自由的程度，我们是最高的。
Beyond all that of other animals.
但是上帝就在这件事情要你有所对付。
But God wants us to be constrained in this matter.
在性器上留下记号。
To have a mark on the sexual organs.
表示你是属于上帝的人。
To show that you belong to God.
上帝是圣洁的上帝。
Because God is a holy God.
神的子民是圣洁的子民。
And the people of God are the holy people of God.
神要我们在身体上给他有立约的记号。
And God wants this mark of covenant on our physical body.
这个割礼到底是预表什么呢？
But what does the circumcision represent?
到了新约的时候，保罗讲。
In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says.
我们就借着洗礼已经代替了旧约的割礼。
That baptism has taken the place of circumcision.
旧约的割礼是表示要遵行上帝的约。
In the Old Testament, circumcision is covenant of God.
所以人受割礼就归入上帝的名下。
And we are circumcised to come under God.
啊，新约我们受奉父子圣灵的名洗礼，归入主的教会的里面。
And in the New Testament, we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit into the church.
新约的洗礼就预表了旧约，也代替了旧约的割礼。
Baptism in the New Testament takes the place of circumcision.
旧约割礼，大人小孩都一定可以受割礼。
In the Old Testament, the adult and the child will be circumcised.
新约的洗礼就预表了你们、你们的儿女以及一切远方的人都可以受洗归向基督。
And in the New Testament, baptism is for you, your children, and all the foreigners.
今天我就不再更广泛的讨论这个事情。
I will not go into this in greater detail.
亚伯拉那一天99岁的时候
，at 99 years old，
他就以他的儿子以撒玛利一同受割礼了。
Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised.
这个时候以撒还没有生下来。
Isaac was not born yet.
但是上帝要应许给他的子孙，不是从以撒玛利出来的。
But the promise is not from Ishmael.
而是从以撒生出来的。
It was to be from Isaac.
所以上帝要撒来有一天会生一个孩子出来。
And God would enable Sarah to have a child.
上帝对亚伯兰说。
God said to Abraham.
你的妻子撒来不要叫做撒来要名叫撒拉。
As for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call Sarah. Her name will be Sarah.
我必赐福给她是她的一个孩子。
I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her.
我要她做多国之母。
I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations.
百姓的君王从她而出。
Kings of people will come from her.
上帝第一次对亚伯兰说，不是以撒玛利，乃是从你自己的妻子撒拉所生的，才是我给你应许的子孙。
This was the first time God told Abraham that he will be from Isaac.
但是当亚伯兰听这句话的时候。
When Abraham heard this,
他已经不耐烦了。
He was already impatient.
你讲这一类话已经好几次。
You have said this many times.
每次都有说你的后代，你的后代必成为大国强盗。我根本老婆不生，你还讲什么？
Every time you say that, but my wife is still barren.
所以这句话听多了，我没有意思的。
So Abraham must have been impatient.
当上帝再讲这句话的时候
，When God said this again,
这一次亚伯兰就笑出来了。
This time Abraham laughed.
所以圣经这样说。
And the Bible says,
亚伯兰匍匐在地上，心里笑着说。
Abraham fell face down and he laughed.
100岁的人还能得到孩子吗
？And said to himself, Will a son be born to a 100 year old man?
撒拉已经90岁还能生羊吗
？Sarah was already 90.
上帝啊，你是不是最近没有读书啊？
God, have you not been reading?
上帝啊，最近生理学的书你都没有看啊。
Maybe you don't know much about biology.
上帝啊，我看 internet 比你更现代化。
Oh God, I'm better than you because of the internet.
你记得不记得我99岁了
？Have you remembered that I'm 99?
明年我100岁了。
I will be 100 next year.
你怎么可以说一个100岁的男的还会生孩子呢
？How can I then have a son?
你怎么可以说一个90岁的女的还能生孩子
？Or a 90-year-old woman be bearing a child?
她的月经早就停止了。
She has stopped her menstruation.
你是上帝，你忘记吗？
You are God, could you have forgotten?
所以呢，亚伯兰就笑起来了。
And so Abraham laughed.
我告诉你，这是一件很可怕的事情。
This is something very horrifying.
亚伯兰对上帝应许的回应是一个嬉笑的回应。
His response towards God's promise was a joke.
这个时候就是他一生最没有信心的时候。
It meant that the very moment was the moment where he had no faith.
这也告诉我们，信心之父可能有时缺乏信心。
It tells us that the father of all who have faith can sometimes have no faith.
我们今天都因为亚伯兰的信，我们成为他的后代。
We have become his descendant because of his faith.
因为亚伯兰成为一切信上帝人的父亲。
We say that he's the father of all who have faith.
但是这个时刻呢，他的信心到哪里去了？
But at this moment, his faith seems to have been lost.
他忽然间伏在地上笑。上帝。
Suddenly he fell face down and he laughed at God.
然后他自己心里说，
and he said to himself,
难道一百岁还可以做父亲吗？
How can I be a father at 100 years old?
难道九十岁还可生孩子吗？
How can a woman bear a child at 90?
接下去他就很严肃地讲一句话。
And then he said,
他对上帝说，
he said to God,
愿以色玛利好好活在你面前就好了。
If only Ishmael may live under your blessing.
你已经给我以色玛利。
You have given me Ishmael.
是我跟我的女仆人生下来的。
A child between me and my maidservant.
因为你不把孩子给我的发妻。
Because my wife had been barren.
所以我就跟我的妻生了这个孩子，这就算数了，不必再应许了。
And now I have a child in my concubine, so that's about it.
当亚伯兰说，上帝啊，愿以色玛利活在你面前的时候。
When Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing.
上帝说，不。
God said no.
你妻子撒拉要给你生一个孩子。
Your wife Sarah will bear you a son.
你要给他起名叫做以撒。
And you will call him Isaac.
我要与他立坚定的约。
I will establish my covenant with him.
是他的后裔，与我有永远的约。
As an everlasting covenant for his descendants.
上帝不会因为你的怀疑就妥协，就跟你讨。